Right. Let's move on. Part 9, attributes of God. Next week, I'll wrap it up with part 10, and we're going to talk about the love of God. But today, I want to talk about the God who is faithful and true. The God who is faithful and true. We live in a day when probably everybody would agree that lying is a sin. Everybody agree with that? Anybody raise their hand with that? Okay, notice the ones that didn't. Okay? By the way, probably a lot of people struggle with sinning. And a lot of times it's to protect. You know, well, I don't want to tell them that they really don't look good today. My wife, I'm like, of all time, she's all the time like, sweetheart, how does this look? My problem is, she asked that this morning. And I'm like, she was asking about her shoes. And I'm like, and I'm honest. I'm like, I don't know. Because I can't. Like, well, it's wonderful. I want to say those, but there's just certain things. I don't wear high heels, so I don't know. So I think that we do things at times. There was a survey that reported, are you ready for this? A typical American tells a lie to nearly one-third of the people they talk to in a given week. Is that amazing? That's not you, right? Okay. Yeah, don't lie on the survey. All right. Advertisement. Almost every claim out there is exaggerated or distorted, don't you think? They want to sell their product. How many have ever bought like soap and it's got blue crystals in it? You know, it makes it better for cleaning. I have a friend who works in that industry. And all they do, he said, it goes down the chute, it's the white detergent, and then they divert a little bit of it over here, and it goes through blue dye, and after it's done back, it comes back in and mixes back in. So you just bought the same soap, now it's got dye in it, so it's not going to even clean as good as you thought it would. They do this to make it sell. They exaggerate, somehow making you feel like you're getting something good. And it's deceptive. Americans are urged, hey, go after these ideas of wealth and beauty. And I'll be honest with you, they're unattainable in the sense of what the world is selling. The internet, how accurate is the internet? Anybody know? I mean, it's full of truth, isn't it? Or maybe not so much truth. This morning, I want you to see, though, in the midst of the world that we live in the deception and misleading, church, there is an oasis of truth. There is an anchor of truth this morning in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's because God is faithful, because God's word is true, amen? So this morning, let me start right there. God is true. John writes these words of Jesus when he said in John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Heavenly Father, let your words always penetrate. Let your words always speak life, and yet let them bring life more than anything to our hearts. And Lord, teach us today about how faithful you are. Amen. In this passage that's on the screen there, Jesus does not say, and notice it very carefully, he doesn't say he is the way to the truth. He said he is the way and he is the truth. You need to understand that truth is really anchored in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 John 5:20. We know also that the Son of God has come. How many believe the Son of God has come? That's a very important doctrine to believe, that the Son of God, that Jesus, the Son of God, has come and has given us understanding. We've gained understanding through his word. Why do we gain that? So that we might what? Know him who, see the person, who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. John is trying to get across the point, God is truth. When we say God is true, we probably mean a couple of things by it. One would be he's pure, he's undefiled, he doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning, no shifting in his character. He's completely true to himself. Secondly, God is true because he's the only one by whom everything else is measured. You may not know this, but in a place called St. Cloud, France, there is a standard of measurement that is kept. It's called the International Prototype Kilogram. In a platinum cylinder, it is held at a constant temperature. And this started back in 1889. It is today still the standard by which all other metric weight is measured. It's because it has to have a standard. Just like it's used as a standard for the truth of weight, we need to understand that God is the standard really for everything that is accurate and reliable. And let me tell you why. Because God speaks only what is true. In fact, the Bible tells us he cannot lie. He speaks truth. John 17, verse 15 to 17 says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Aren't you glad that Jesus is still our advocate and praying for us and wants us protected and recognizes there is an evil one? Verse 16, he declares, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of it. But how? Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. And church, what is truth? Your word is truth. Some 11 years ago when we revamped the sanctuary here and we got a new pulpit, one of the things that was just in my heart to do was on this pulpit to have written John 17, 17. Your word is truth. I always want truth to be proclaimed in this place. And we need to be careful in all our ministries that we are being truthful to his word. God's word is truth. And what God said and what God inspired and guided the authors of Scripture to write is absolutely and unquestionably and completely true. God makes his promises in here clearly to us and gives strong directions concerning the standard for how we're supposed to live. Church, when we say God's word is true, we are saying, number one, God's word can be depended on. Amen? When God says something, you can be sure it will happen. What he promises, he delivers, and what he threatens, he will bring to pass. Did you know there is a threat to the end of this world? There are movies being made about it, like the apocalypse is coming. And all. Church, you need to know there is a judgment day coming. We talked about it a few weeks ago. But we need to understand that what he says, everything is true. But secondly, when we say God's word is true, we also mean God's word is accurate and can lead us and will lead us in the right direction. The advice, the counsel that comes from the Bible is true. It's not some theory. It's not some opinion. It's not the conclusion of a team of people who got together. It's not just the best guess that mankind can come up with. It is simply that God's word is true. What God says about honesty is the truth about honesty. What God says about having a good relationship is the truth about having a good relationship. If you're going, well, my marriage, I need help. Listen, the word of God is full of truth to help us. One is, he talks about husbands. You're to do what? And women, what are you supposed to do? Respect your husbands. There's a great book about it. It's great. But go back to the biblical principle and apply it. It will change your life. And you're going, well, that sounds awful hard. Listen, keep reading through all the word because it goes to a place where it says both of you submit to each other. It isn't about dominance. It's about serving. It's about loving. It's about respecting and saying, listen, we're in this together. what God says about financial stewardship. There's a lot of stuff there. I believe that His Word teaches for us to tithe. And people go, well, I just don't know if I'll have enough left if I do that. Wait a minute, who's the provider? Is it your workplace? Or you think you're a better manager than God? Do you think God will be unfaithful to you? You think God's going to leave you out when you begin to honor and obey His Word? The stewardship principles that are here are to help you and guide you and give you a life that's full of greatness, not robbing you of what He wants to do with you. God is for you, not against you. I love this. What God says about salvation is true. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? During the time of the Reformation of the church, and none of us were alive when that happened, so I won't even make a joke to our older constituencies. But these reformers, when they reformed, they said, wait a minute, we need to land on something that's true. And they would affirm with this statement that said, sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. It was their shorthand to say the Bible alone is the rule and guide. And as we are changing and recognizing that things are not quite going right, what are we going to land on? They said everything is to be weighed and measured by the scriptures. But you need to understand, in that time in history, it raised a lot of controversy. And I'll tell you why. Because the Roman Catholic Church, and you need to know to this day, you need to know something. The Roman Catholic Church states, yes, they say scripture is authoritative, but they also say church tradition is authoritative. And they also say the Pope is authoritative. And they take authority from all three of these. Well, the reformers were refuting what the Roman Church was saying. The reformers knew that church traditions had just come from mere men, and man is fallible. I'm not against traditions. I think some traditions are wonderful. But if they become authority, then we have missed something. The reason we do communion is because of the authority of the Word, not the authority of tradition. You have to understand that. These reformers also knew the Pope. He's just a man. He is a mortal man, and they said mortal man is fallible. And I know some of you came out of the Catholic faith and all of that, and maybe some of you still are connected in some way. You need to go and study, because if you're not careful, you will be misled. There is only one standard of truth that we go by, and it never changes, and that is the Word of God. It is the only standard. Today, though, as you many of you amen that, a lot of will say, oh, yeah, that's scripture alone. It isn't very long, though, before people begin to want to add other things to the Bible. Maybe it's the teaching of some particular church. Well, they teach that. That's really good. And we ought to do that. And church, that's not the authority I walk on. Maybe the vision of some leader out there, or some writings of some author, or maybe it's even someone's personal experience. And people try to build authority on those things, yet that is not authority. Church, there is only one who is true, and that is God. There's only one testimony of God's direction for us, and that's the Bible. Bottom line, everything else has to be carefully weighed through the Word of God. So God is true. He alone is the standard of truth. This morning, though, I'm also delighted to remind you that God is also faithful. God is faithful. God's faithfulness goes hand in hand with the truth of His character. Psalm 145:13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. And the New Testament writer of Hebrews says, let us hold unswervingly. How many drive your car and you swerve a little bit? Work on it. But more than that, work on this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. We profess that he who promised is faithful. When we say that someone's faithful, in marriage, what do we mean? We mean they're keeping their promise. They're going to be loyal. They're going to hold their fidelity toward their spouse. They give themselves completely. They're all in. They keep their word. How many of you have faithful friends? That faithful friend you can count on. You know that when you have a need, they're going to be there. When they make a promise to you, they'll keep it. If we say that God is faithful, what are we saying? We can depend on him. We can be sure that he will do what he says he will do. God is faithful when we're in difficult circumstances. Listen to Lamentations 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. How many have ever quoted that? You know the scripture, yeah. But listen as he goes on. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is an incredible passage that is found in this lament. The book of Lamentations was Jeremiah's crying and weeping over the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah had wrote this book after he had walked among the rubble of the city. The walls were destroyed. The temple had been burned down. The Babylonians had come in and ransacked the city, and they killed many of the Jews. Could you imagine in your own city if a devastating act of nature, or even if we had war on our nation, came through and destroyed every building that was standing? Can you imagine how you would feel as you walk among that? That's where Jeremiah is walking. And yet in the midst of the heartache, the lament, and everything he's feeling, he cannot help but speak of God's faithfulness. I don't know about you. I mean, this is the city of God. I mean, these are the people of God. I mean, God, why would he allow circumstances like that to happen? Why? Because God is faithful. In the midst of the destruction, Jeremiah affirms it because God said, this is what's going to happen if you ignore my word. If you don't listen to me, then destruction is coming. And guess what? Who was right? God was. It was faithful. Now, along with that, not only the act of judgment show God meant what he said, but he also recognizes that God had promised to keep a remnant. Jeremiah knew the only reason there were any survivors at all is because God had promised that there would be a remnant. The remnant wasn't made up of people who deserve to be saved. They're just people who were saved because God's promise was that I will save some, so we have a future. When you're going through tough times, you need to remember in the rubble of the difficulty of what you're walking through, God is still faithful. You go, well, man, my life is a mess. Well, have you been really living up to his word? Do you know some of the promises there are also have negative consequences if they're not followed? See, we want all the goodness of God, but there is a place where I'm serving him and I have to take everything of his word. And you know what? I hate it that generations can yield negative generations. The Bible says up to four generations. But did you know a righteous generation can yield up to 1,000? And we've been blessed in this nation because of some of the foundations we've had, but I'm watching as it is falling away quickly. And we're beginning to move into and live in a world that is getting distant from God. And you know what? And God's judgment will come. And so we need to understand that when you're going through difficult times, God is still faithful. He's faithful to carry you through. His commitment to you is undiminished, but we have to turn back to him. God is always faithful. And God is faithful also when we've wandered away. I want you to hear what Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians. This church was struggling, and in the very, chapters, he's coming back and just encouraging them. And here's what he writes. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony of Christ among you. When Christ enters our life, things begin to change. It's good, he says. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Verse 8, he will also keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I love the faithfulness of God in this passage, especially where Paul says, he will keep you firm to the end. Listen, we are supposed to develop strong spiritual disciplines in our life. Church, did you know that? We need those in our life. And that's so we can grow and get closer to him. But our perseverance in the faith is not just dependent upon us. We have a guarantee from the Lord that he is there to help us, keep us strong. But we got to stay close to him. Paul says it this way in Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Though you may feel like I'm wandering or somehow you've strayed away from God, you need to know that he loves you and he's for you, and you don't need to feel embarrassed to return to him. He has never deserted you. He's never written you off. You can return to him. You may have fallen back a little bit, but he's ready for you to come home. He loves you, and he's always ready to forgive you and restore you. And also, not only is God faithful when we feel like we've wandered away, but God is faithful when we face temptations. How many of you ever faced temptations? I mean, all the appendages. 1 Corinthians 10 says, but this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. We all face it. But listen to this, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is a promise from the Lord that God will not let you be tempted beyond something you can bear. There will never be a situation that will arise where you cannot remain faithful. Why? Because he's faithful. There will never be a tempting situation that you have to give in to. You can never say, well, I didn't have a choice. When it comes to sin and temptation in your life, there is always a way to remain faithful. It may be that you're engaged maybe in some behavior that you know God calls wrong. And you might be excusing that behavior, just saying, well, I just can't help it. It's just part of my nature. It's the circumstances I'm in. It's everybody else that I'm around. And the argument becomes the same in every case, because you're claiming, I can't obey God because I don't have a choice. God's promise right here says there's always a choice. And maybe you're in the battle today of, maybe it's a sexual temptation that you're being drawn to. Maybe it's to lie or somehow skew the truth to protect yourself. And you know that is wrong. And even though you feel that temptation, you may even feel that it's stronger than you are. Today you have a choice. The Lord is bringing this before you, and God is providing for you a way out. But you have to do what's right according to his word. And then you take God's way out. One last thought this morning. God is faithful when we sin. I'm glad he can deliver us from temptation, and he can. But there are times we mess up. In 1 John 1:9, a passage you probably have heard many, many times, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Another precious promise. When we sin, God will forgive. if we come to him and we admit our sin. Notice a couple of things on this passage. There is no limit on this promise. John didn't write, well, he's faithful and just to forgive you up to about 100 times. At 101, it's not what's written. God is faithful. He'll forgive you. Notice something else, though. The second thought you need to make sure you understand here is there's a condition to it, an important condition. You have to confess your sin. You have to admit the wrong that you did and confess it before God. Come clean before him. He already knows what it is. But it's important for you to recognize that you have done wrong. And then come to him and let him be your Savior. Something else I want to talk to you as a church, because we read passages like this and we love the forgiveness and all of that. But this scripture here, you need to know, and I don't care what other churches may say, but this scripture is not a license to go sin. Paul says, do we sin that grace may abound? By no means. Church, we are changed people. We are people who are being transformed. It doesn't mean we won't mess up. But I don't go out and deliberately sin and say, well, God, I'll come back to you now. I'm glad he forgives us. But church, he is calling us higher and deeper in his love. Why? Because we become ambassadors to other people who are caught in sin to help lead the way out of it. But if we're engaged in it, what kind of testimony is that? The promise is that every true repentant child will always be welcomed home. When you're sorry for your sin and God sees the heart, he welcomes you home. I invite the worship team to come back. We're going to close with some worship this morning. If you've been attending our church and maybe you're new, we used to do a lot of our worship up front, and we're just now in a place where we're opening with a couple of songs and trying to get to the Word so you can spend time with God. So you can leave here not just hearing something, but having time to say, God, I want this to be applied in my life. This morning, I could really hero this message and just make it about, yeah, God's faithful and true. But I want to take it one step deeper this morning. Because he is that, and I know him and I love him, therefore I should obey him. Because God is calling us to be faithful and true people. He is transforming us into the image of his Son. And if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. I pray that if people meet you, they would have seen the Son and they see the Father. He's calling us to a deeper place of faithfulness and truth in our own life. I don't know where you are, and and God's not given me some word of wisdom that I can speak into your life and say, well, this here or that here is not right. I will watch, and if I don't see the fruit of the Word of God there, I might come to you because you're a part of this church, and I just want you to be accountable. I think we would all want to be accountable. But this morning, I have to start back at the very foundation, and that is there may be people in this room who have never even once committed their life to Christ. And today, you can do that. He loves you. He will forgive you. I can only tell you this as your pastor, that I love you. And as far as I know in my heart, and I say this with complete honesty, is that I love you, and I don't know a single person in here, and I really am trying to think of anybody in the world. I just don't hold stuff against people. In fact, it's kind of in the Lord's Prayer that, Father, forgive me as. That's a continual action of me forgiving others. It's just part of how I have to live. So I'm not holding anything, and I really love you. I want you to grow. I want to lift you up. I want to build you up. I want to see God do great things in your life. And if I can say that as a human being, and with all the flaws that are there, how much more does the Father love you? How much more does He care about you? I mean, our whole pastoral staff is here because we understand the grace and the mercy and the power of change, and we want to see that happen in your life. But if you've never made that decision, you'll never experience the consequence of the glory of God. Oh, you might feel the emotion, but what if that glory lived in you all the time? And it can. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been a good churchgoer, but you've kind of found yourself in and out, in and out. What would happen if we could help you stay in? What would happen in your life if all of a sudden we, you know what, I understand now, and I'm looking for God's way out. I understand temptation. I know where it leads me. And you grow to another level and begin to get, hey, this thing, I can be free from this stuff. Men, for you, pornography will rob you of your joy. It will stress you out. It will mess you up. And it could destroy everything. Men, I know it's a trap out there. I deal with too many people. I hear too much. And I'm telling you, quit living the lie. Get free. And ladies, I'm not going to leave you out. Right now, that is one of the most growing areas, is pornography for women now. And women, don't get trapped by it. All of us need to guard our lives. Why? Because there's a way out. And when you start having those temptations, why don't you just pull out the Word of God and put them side by side, and you tell me what the Holy Spirit's going to say. But that's the dare to walk the walk and quit the weaving in and out of the kingdom thing. Get in. Come on. It's good. It really is good. But maybe you've been caught by stuff and you go, it's just too late. No, it's not. He loves you today. And He says, I'm faithful and I'm just, and I'll forgive you of all unrighteousness. And then maybe you've been walking it, living it, but you find those traps every once in a while that just catch you. I don't want you to walk under condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The problem is we stay just outside of Him just long enough that we start feeling that from the enemy. And the Holy Spirit's really going, well, it's not condemnation, is conviction, because you need to change, you need to correct it, you need to come back. And so this morning, I don't know which category you're in. I don't know if you're in any of them. Maybe you're faithfully walking it. There's times when I call an altar call and I'll have hands raised and no hands go up. I don't know if I'm supposed to go, yay, everybody's in, or if I'm saying one third of you are lying to me. I don't know. This morning, it doesn't matter what you say to me. It matters what you say to God. And this morning, I cannot go any deeper with you until you're ready to go to that deep place and say, you know what, I'm ready to get rid of this. Because He's faithful and true, I want to be faithful and true. I want to walk that. I want to live that. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Balcony, main floor. I simply ask, if you're in any of those categories this morning, it doesn't matter to me, because He forgives all sin. It doesn't matter. And by the way, I'm not asking you to reveal it to me today, but I'm asking you to confess and say, you know what? I'm ready to get this thing right. So if that's you this morning, you can just slip your hand up and put it right back down. And I just want to pray with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There's any others just looking around? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Because, guys, this is about getting it right. We're about to head into a season, and these next weeks, I want to celebrate. But it'd be a greater celebration if everybody's in. So would you pray with me, everybody, and making this confession of faith once again? Say, Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
But I'm glad you're a Savior.
But I'm glad you're a Savior.
And I ask you.
And I ask you.
To forgive me of my sin.
To forgive me of my sin.
Make me clean today.
Make me clean today.
I choose to live for you.
I choose to live for you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Help me avoid the traps.
Help me avoid the traps.
And help me proclaim your name.
And help me proclaim your name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Celebrate.